You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two, still in Dipper number one. So yeah, Dipper one, I'm calling it God Bless Texas. A lot of this stuff, by the way, the things I've been talking about, I've been posting things on my my Twitter feed especially. You can go to @SenPhilWilliams, that's S-E-N Phil Williams, and a number of the stories about states that have joined in, some of the constitutional crises that we're under right now, the audio clip that you just heard from Ron DeSantis, those are all on my Twitter. You can find them, and I encourage you to do so. But let me bring on somebody right now who I was getting ready this morning. I thought, golly, there is one person I know of that is like the best person in the world to ask for his thoughts on where we're headed here. And that's my friend Brian Taylor, who's been on the show multiple times. But just to give you some background, so Brian Taylor and I served in the Alabama State Senate together. He's a JAG officer, field grade JAG officer, who spent a number of years on active duty, time overseas. And also, by the way, a senior JAG officer in the Alabama National Guard. I say that because National Guard is a key part of what's happening in Texas. Not only was he a senior JAG in the National Guard, he's been an advisor to two governors, Governor Riley and Governor Ivey, to include being chief legal counsel for Governor Ivey, which means that decisions like what we're seeing right now in Texas, he's got both the National Guard military perspective and he's also got the advising a governor perspective. Let me quit talking. Brian Taylor, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil. Good to be on the show with you again.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much. And I meant what I said. It's hard to imagine anybody with better expertise. And I bet you can imagine what it's like being behind closed doors with the governor trying to advise them on how to handle a situation like this. Give me your thoughts.
Well, this specific question I haven't been involved in, but I have worked in the Texas governor's legal office. Back when I was in law school at the University of Texas, Bush was governor at the time, and I worked in his legal office. It's a much larger legal office than the governor's office in Alabama, but sure, the governor's legal office is directly engaged with the attorney general's office on this question, and minute by minute, they're preparing their case, and they're making sure that the state does everything it needs to do to protect the record for appeal.
Well, so how hard is that, by the way? Let's just imagine, for instance, that let's say that we were the border state. The constitutional questions are arising. You're looking at how do we resist the federal government and can we get away with resist? I mean, that's a heady set of circumstances and some serious interpretations of the law. And I'm sure you've been in a few discussions that were dicey. Talk to us about the tension that forms just in the governor's office when that goes on.
Well, you know, Phil, I'm talk about these things as I'm out on the campaign trail running for Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court now. This goes directly to a candidate's judicial philosophy. The provisions of the Constitution that are at issue in this case in Texas, out of Texas, are very rarely used, if ever. I haven't sat down and looked through the history yet. But you know, there's this provision that Governor Abbott is relying on, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3. Which forbids the states. Let me read it here. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace, or enter into any agreement, compact with another state, or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded. And that phrase, unless actually invaded, is going to be at the center of this litigation. And as you know, there are a number of judges today. We call them judicial activists. They legislate from the bench, and they would look at those words, and they would probably say today, well, this isn't an invasion. There's no army invading Texas. But, you know, as a conservative judge, we don't rule from the bench like that. We don't legislate from the bench. We look at the history. We look at the original intent of the founders and what they mean. So it's going to be fascinating to see the arguments in this case about what that language means. Does this constitute an invasion for purposes of that constitutional provision? And has the United States been derelict in its duty of protecting the states under another provision of the Constitution that requires the federal government to repel invasions? So just an absolutely, if you're an attorney, especially if you're a lover of constitutional law, this is just going to be a really interesting case.
Oh, it absolutely is. I think it's unique. It's a case of first impression, perhaps. I think it's novel in its construct. But then let me ask you this: let's flip to the other side of your life. All right. So you were a senior legal counsel in the Alabama National Guard, a JAG officer with 20 plus years of service, active duty and guard. The National Guard in Texas, and, oh, by the way, the number of other states, including Alabama, that have provided Guard assistance, they're in a unique position right now. Give me your thoughts on where all that is.
Well, a lot of people don't really understand how the National Guard is set up. The National Guard works for the governor. The governor is the commander-in-chief when the National Guard is in a state status. However, there are laws under Title 10 of the United States Code that allow the president, people are aware of this generally, allow the president to federalize the National Guard. And when that happens, when the president invokes that power under Title 10, then the president becomes the commander-in-chief of the National Guard of that state. And so because the federal government funds state National Guards to a large extent, there's going to be, I would not be surprised to see some very serious consideration in the Biden administration and among Democrats in Congress, urging him to federalize the Texas National Guard. I believe one congressman has already suggested that.
Yes.
And the governor's going to fight that and say that this is not a proper basis under the law for federalizing the Guard. And it's just, this is really setting up a set of circumstances and tension between state and federal power, unlike we've seen in a long, long, long time.
So in that vein, let me just ask you, my recollection was there has to be a federal issue or some major conflict that would allow the federal government to then move Title 32 National Guard troops into Title 10 federalized service. I mean, the governor doesn't just lose his people because the president gets a notion, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are certain criteria in federal law, Title 10 of the United States Code, under which the president can federalize the Guard, and he's going to make his case in front of the court that he's got that authority here, if indeed he does that. But, I'm not convinced that he will, Phil, because, I mean, can you imagine like I just said, the tension? But what if National Guard troops decide to suddenly say, we work for the governor. We don't think this is a proper calling up of the National Guard. Then you got issues involving, failure to obey orders and just all kinds of litigation flying out of this. So the administration hopefully is thinking through the more practical and pragmatic aspects of such a radical decision to invoke the power of the National Guard. It would just have repercussions beyond what I think anybody right now is thinking about.
It would. It would have definite ramifications. And there have been limited circumstances post-Reconstruction, where you have seen federal troops used on U.S. soil. I mean, we have laws like posse comitatus and what are your thoughts on the idea of federal troops being sent down there to then assist Customs Border Patrol to remove barriers and to take action that the state governor has not asked for or doesn't want?
Well, you mentioned posse comitatus. That's another law that strictly regulates the use of federal troops on American soil. That is a criminal law that comes with its own severe consequences. So, before the president does anything of that sort, I hope cooler heads are going to prevail, and I think that both parties are likely to let this play out in the courts. And I think it's important too for people in Alabama to remember this is just the beginning. A lot of folks have been asking me on the campaign trail, Phil, why did the Supreme Court rule this way? And I have to tell them, well, this is the beginning of the case. This is not the final say so. So while two of the conservative justices, the traditionally conservative justices, did vote with the majority of the Supreme Court to block Texas or to block the Fifth Circuit's injunction in this particular time, that's pending appeal. That's pending the case on the merits. And I know you probably talked about that earlier in your show today.
We did.
But we need to keep in mind those conservative justices, they may agree on the merits with the other conservatives, and they may have just decided that at this point in time they're not going to upset the district court's decision in this case pending appeal. But we'll have to see.
Yeah, I think that's all going to play itself out. Let me ask you with just about a couple minutes left here together on the phone, if what your thoughts are. I mean, as both a governor's legal counsel and as a guard JAG officer, I know that you dealt with interstate compacts on the use of guard resources from one state to assist another. Do you see that coming into play in this situation right now with something like 11 states joining Texas at this point?
Yeah, certainly. Look, I'm not privy to anything, any conversations that might be going on in the Alabama governor's office right now. Left that office in 2019. But certainly if Governor Ivey is interested in supplying, whether it's personnel, resources, equipment, she can do that under the various state compacts that we have. A compact is just agreements between states for support. So, for example, when a hurricane hits Louisiana or the Texas coast and we send helicopters or medical personnel or supplies, that all happens under these state agreements by which we share with those states mutually. If something happens to us, they respond under those agreements to support the state of Alabama. So a lot of support from so-called red state governors out there on this. And again, all of that's going to come into play, and whether those whether governors think that Governor Abbott's rationale is enough support to supply any required assets under the existing state compacts is going to be a governor by governor decision, I think.
Well,
I don't know what's going on in the Alabama governor's office. I think she was clear this morning on Twitter or X, as it's now called, that she's in support of Governor Abbott.
Yep, she was. I was glad to see her join the fray. Brian Taylor, you are running for Chief Justice. If people want to know more about you or your campaign or get in touch with you, how do they do it?
BrianTaylor.com is my website. That's BRYAN, BrianTaylor.com. They can go on there and read about my background, my time in the military, my service in Iraq, and my service here in the state, and also my service in private practice for conservative causes. I'd love to get as much information as I can out about that. So I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show today and the opportunity to talk about these issues.
No, I appreciate you, Brian. Thanks very much, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now, but I'm just going to tell you, man, I can't. Brian has been in the position of advising governors, legally advising governors, and then also legally advising the Adjutant General of the Alabama National Guard. Interesting dynamic. He's got it going on when it comes to discussing this particular situation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More on this. We'll be right back.